The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I'm Brian Wilson alongside Larry O'Connor.
And joining us right now, New York Times bestselling author of the brand new book, A Foreign Agent. He loves his funk music. He loves his parliament, just like his alter ego, Scott Harvath, the protagonist of so many of his books. He is Brad Thor and a good friend of this program as well. Brad, thanks for joining us this morning. Congratulations on the new book.
Well, thank you. Good morning, gentlemen.
Listen, no summer is complete in my life without a brand new thriller from Brad Thor. And I got to be honest, I have held off. I'm not going to read it yet. I'm waiting until the summer kicks into full gear so I can sort of, you know, kick back and really get into it. But I've read a little bit of a synopsis. And as usual, you seem to be just right with the current state of affairs in around the world with regard to the terrorist threat. Why don't you give us a little bit of what Foreign Agent is about?
Well, Foreign Agent, nobody does black ops better than the United States. I mean, we are simply the best when it comes to working in that area. And so the book opens up with a special operations team that's about to do the grab of a very high-value ISIS target. And it's the head of social media for ISIS. And as they are getting ready to launch, they are ambushed themselves. Nobody was supposed to know where they are. And all of the attention falls to my main character, Scott Harvath, who helped develop the intelligence for the raid. And a big congressional ton of bricks falls on him. And he has a very short window within which to figure out what the heck happened and why he's getting fingered as the leak. So it takes off like a rocket on page one and doesn't slow down till the very end.
It's a page turner. There's no doubt about it. I'm in the beginning part of the book. Well, I did look ahead to a certain part, but we'll talk about that later. But listen, the congressional angle to that, Congress is sticking its finger in the pie here?
Yeah, a little bit. Listen, since people have organized into tribes, into communities, and have gone to war, politics has been a part of warfare. So I think, you know, my number one job is to give people a thrilling, white-knuckle, edge-of-their-seat thrill ride, you know, short cinematic chapters. And if you have a great read and you enjoy the book and it was a heart pounder for you, I've done my job. But if you close it saying, wow, is that how that happens in D.C.? Does that really go on behind the scenes? I think that's kind of a nice added element.
Well, I mean, that's the beauty of your books. You actually, you know, do tell a story that has a touch of reality to it. I mean, you could one imagine that that would happen in the District of Columbia.
Well, you know, it's funny. The first two major pieces of fan mail I ever got as an author came from two different sides of the aisle. One was from Newt Gingrich, who said that I captured America's enemies better than anybody he'd ever read. And then the other was from Burt Lance, the former OMB director in the Carter administration, who said I captured Washington insider politics better than anybody he'd ever read. So that was pretty nice for a political thriller author.
Well, and for any Washingtonian who likes thrillers like this, Brad Thor books are fantastic because he talks about stuff in our community. He talks about our highways, our roads, our buildings, our towns, and that's a very cool thing. Brad, I want to ask you, you know, one of the things in your most recent books really focus on domestic terror attacks, and you focus oftentimes on the individuals who go unnoticed and end up wreaking horrible, horrible havoc and killing multitudes of Americans because of their inspired ideology that is evil and despicable. And it's impossible to not have you give us a comment on what happened in Orlando over the weekend. First of all, your overall take on how this event came down, what we know about it, and this suggestion or this argument that because it wasn't directed specifically by a terror network like ISIS or Al-Qaeda, that in some way this is a different kind of terror threat that, well, I guess we shouldn't hold the president accountable for? They keep saying, oh, it's just homegrown, it's lone wolf. Does that make a difference?
Well, it does make a difference. And actually, Reuters did a story in the last 36 hours saying that of the 90 ISIS-related terror cases that have been prosecuted in U.S. courts, 75% of them involve 2 to 10 people in a cell. So the idea, three-quarters, so the idea, you know, that lone wolves and this is the way this is going in this country is crazy. It's actually organized cells. We're a very short time away from this attack. The investigation is still ongoing, and we don't know. Just because they're saying, oh, we can't find a cell, doesn't mean one doesn't exist. You look at San Bernardino, particularly how those guys were kitted out in San Bernardino. A lot of the guys I talked to said, boy, they knew what they were doing. Somebody helped them somewhere along the line. And I don't know that we won't find that that's the case here. But my biggest concern is that the United States could go into a state of siege, be under a state of siege like Israel. Now we've seen San Bernardino, we've seen Orlando. This is a big problem, and we need to fight Islamic terrorism with a 1-2 punch. One is you find these guys, you roll them up, you kill them when you can. That's the one. But the two is we need to be combating the ideology. You know, you and I stand in longer TSA lines. We have our metadata hoovered up by the NSA. And certain security precautions are necessary to protect us. But if we are not pursuing the ideology of fundamentalist Islam with the same zeal, then we're adding insult to the injuries visited upon our liberty. And that's, I think, what ticks people off when it comes to Obama not even saying, you know, Islamic terrorism. It's the fact that they're doing nothing to end the ideology. That's a big problem.
You know, Brad, you have a good sense of how the intelligence community work and how it does its jobs. And I've noticed that they're very quick to say, well, this is domestic. No indication at all that he was radicalized. We now know that apparently he made 2 trips to Saudi Arabia for Hajj, 2012 and 2011, I believe it is, but if memory serves me correct. And the Saudis have been very quick to say, oh, but as far as we know, he wasn't radicalized by anybody, he had no inappropriate meetings. Well, and everybody seems to be willing to say, oh, that's it. Okay, well, that's what it is. Well, don't the Saudis have, if that is true, don't the Saudis have a sort of a, there's an advantage to them making the case that, that nothing happened while he was on Saudi soil?
Listen,
why do we believe that?
Well, we shouldn't believe that. The Saudis are full of crap. And that's one of the reasons the Saudis have lobbied so hard to have those 20-some-odd pages from the 9/11 Commission report blacked out and not released to the American public. The Saudis are, there's really some bad, bad people in Saudi. And, you know, they fund the Wahhabism sect of Islam. I mean, they're, a lot of the problems we have as far as terrorism is concerned go right to the Saudis. So, you know, I'm not going to sit here and defend the Saudis. They don't deserve defense. They deserve condemnation, as far as I'm concerned. A lot of them do. So this idea that he goes to the Hajj, what happens at the Hajj? These are not kind of so-so wishy-washy Muslims. These are the most devout Muslims in the world, and there's, I mean, you ever seen pictures of the Hajj? It's amazing how many go. Mm-hmm. So the idea that he's not bumping elbows with really bad radical people at the most devout meeting of Muslims in the world is patently ridiculous. It's unbelievable. They can't monitor every person. The Saudis are okay. They ain't that good that they can tell you who this guy ate breakfast with, who he walked with, who he threw the stones at the devil with. They're full of it. I wouldn't trust the Saudis for a second.
Brad Thor, stay right there. Go nowhere. We continue talking about your book, Foreign Agent, a thriller, which is, again, great summer reading. Every Brad Thor book is great summer reading. In fact, I've gone back and read a couple of that I've read years ago because they're just as fun and, frankly, timely as the today's newspapers. So get this one, read it. We're going to continue talking about it and also The World at Large with Brad Thor, best-selling author. Brad Thor is our guest, New York Times best-selling author. His new book is Foreign Agent. And, Brad, I feel bad because, you know, I want to talk about your book. I really do. But I also want to talk to you about, I mean, we just had a terror attack. We had the bloodiest terror attack on domestic soil since 9/11, and you're the perfect person to talk to about that, too, because of your expertise. You've studied our enemy so much, and what's what makes your book so great is that it's vivid. I have another question about the terror attack, but I do want to let's touch on the book first really quickly. In your opinion, how does this book stack up in terms of following the storyline that we have followed with Scott Harvath, your central character? Some of your books sort of, I mean, they're all standalone, but some of them do more to lend themselves to picking up the through line of his life than others. You know what I mean?
Yeah, if you have not read my thrillers before, I think this is a perfect one to start with because I really stretched and tried to take this to a brand new level. So if you haven't read a Brad Thor book before, Foreign Agent's definitely one, the one to start with.
Great.
So a lot of fun to write in a with an ISIS through line in this book. Again, I write fiction. You know, this is take it to the beach, take it to the lake with you. But this was probably the most challenging book to write because ISIS changed and kept changing every single day I sat down to work on this story. It was amazingly challenging to stay 2 to 3 steps ahead of them, but I did. And I think if you want to know what's going to happen with ISIS tomorrow, you should read this book today.
All right, we do have more on this book, Foreign Agent, but I want to ask you one other aspect of this terror attack, and that is this homosexual angle. We're seeing a lot of reports now that this terrorist perhaps was closeted in some way, spent a lot of time at this club, maybe was on some gay hookup apps, all of these things. And of course, many people are focusing on Islamic teaching with regard to homosexuality and how some people interpret the punishment as a literal punishment here on earth versus Allah's punishment. You have done a lot of research into, I know, the Taliban and many of the Taliban leaders over there, where there is this sort of unspoken but well-known abuse of young boys at the hands of these religious leaders and tribal leaders. Tell me what you know.
Well, listen, homosexuality is something that you can find, you can find men together with men in multiple places in the Islamic world. Is that a product of the very repressive environment and how hookups between men and women can't happen? You know, you get an 18-year-old guy, and if he's in big trouble, if he doesn't get married and he's trying to hook up with a girl, listen, it is one of the most repressive faiths that's out there. And women can't drive in some places. They can't vote, you know, and if a girl is out without 16,000 male members of her family, she's going to get stoned. We don't see any advancement coming out of the Islamic world anywhere. The literacy rate is laughably low. There's no international universities of international standing. And I believe that's because Islam does not promote the individual and the sacredness and wonderfulness of the individual. So there's a lot of problems with Islam. Now, if this young man, that sounds too nice, this horrific monster, if he was gay, that's a part of the story. But this is a really, really bad guy. His ex-wife said he beat her like crazy. That's why she left him after 4 months. Said he was bipolar, deeply traumatized, severely disturbed, all her words. So I think we're going to learn that Islam may play a part in this, but this guy also may just be like a Jared Loughner or a Holmes, the guy that shot up the Aurora, Colorado movie theater. This guy may just be absolutely insane.
All right. Now we have to turn to a key passage in the book because last time you were here with your last book, I was sort of shameless in my, appeal to you to include me in your book as you had included my partner, Larry O'Connor.
Yeah, there was a
broadcaster, Larry O'Connor.
Yeah, iconic broadcaster on WMAL. Yeah,
that's right.
It was
I
a passing.
We were talking about the same person.
It was a passing reference.
It was a passing reference, but I get like a bunch of paragraphs.
Are you kidding me?
I do. I really
you're,
do.
You're like Harvath's wingman in this book.
That's right. Right.
It's ridiculous, Thor.
I take you to the Hay Adams Hotel bar for a passage from the book, Foreign Agent, by our good friend Brad Thor. Here is a dramatic reading from that. It's talking about a woman by the name of Rebecca Ritter, who is described as a stunning woman. As the bartender poured her drink, she turned to survey the room. She was always on the lookout for well-connected people who could expand her sphere of influence. Her eyes came to rest on a tall, distinguished-looking man who had just approached the bar to order his own drink. "You're Brian Wilson," she said. "Mornings on the Mall."
Wait, from the Beach Boys?
"Mornings on the Mall on WMAL. "I am indeed," the broadcaster replied with a smile, flattered to be recognized by such an attractive woman.
"Hey now."
Rebecca Ritter, chief of staff for Senator Wells. As she spoke, she extended her hand. Wilson took it politely, and sharp man that he was, noticed that she arched her back in order to more subtly extend another part of her body. "The senator's making a lot of news. We'd love to put him on the show."
"Oh, my."
"Absolutely," Ritter replied, fishing out one of her business cards. "Do you have a pen?" Wilson removed the pen from his blazer pocket and handed it to her. Writing on the back of the card, she said, "This is my personal cell phone number." The broadcaster did not need to look left or right. He could feel the envious stares of all the men in the bar.
Oh, my.
Was she trying to pick him up or offer him a job? Whatever it was, Wilson was enjoying it. And whatever happened, he was going to have one hell of a story to tell his co-host, Larry O'Connor, the next morning. Thus concludes a dramatic reading from Chapter 71 of Brad Thor's Foreign Agent.
Ah, Brad.
Brad, nicely
done. That is well done.
I am ever forever in your debt,
That
Brad.
Is good stuff.
You bet. I spent the most time of the book on that chapter.
I believe that. A lot of research. Well, clearly I've been complaining to Brad offline way too much about having to hear all of these stories about Wilson's conquest.
Oh, stop
my God, it's all I hear about, Brad.
Oh, you're making that.
That is fantastic. We love that you did that for
that
us.
That was very sweet
of you.
Thank
you so much.
You bet, guys. My pleasure.
That is great, and definitely the high point of the book.
it's very important to the plot.
I'm sure.
By the way,
it's
really
a major pivot point.
It is. It absolutely is.
Brad, good luck with the book. It's always great to have you, my friend. You're a true patriot. We love you.
You right back at you guys. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Brad.
The book, Foreign Agent. Get it. Great summer read. 824.